As always, I am one of your hosts, Olivia, with my co-host, Rashmi, and today we're going to talk about financial challenges for millennials and Gen Z.
But in order to really understand financial challenges and how we measure this, we need to know what financial health is, which is a comprehensive metric considering various financial aspects like spending, saving, borrowing, and planning.
Financial health indicates a well-functioning financial system that promotes resilience and opportunity.
So the measurement of financial health, which we are taking data from a survey, and it reflects 8 indicators, and the way this score system is measured is from 80 to 100, it is considered financially healthy, which means it's resilient and opportunity pursuing.
And then from 40 to 79, it's financially coping, which would be struggling in some financial aspects.
And then from 0 to 39, it's financially vulnerable, which is struggling in most or all financial aspects.
So we're going to be taking a look at the 2019 U.S. Financial Health Pulse Survey for Millennials' Financial Health Status. And this data is before COVID, and now it's likely that it's different and possibly worse because of social conflicts and COVID.
Yeah, so whatever data we're giving you right now, maybe assume that it might be a little bit higher than this at this moment.
Yes, right now it's a little bit out of date. But generally speaking, 24% of U.S. millennials were financially healthy in 2019.
54% were financially coping.
And 22% were financially vulnerable, which is insane that over half of the population of millennials was struggling in some financial aspects, and almost a quarter was struggling in most of their financial aspects.
Which means 3/4 of the American population does not feel financially healthy, which is absolutely insane to me.
It is. And the worst part is that there are also racial and ethnic disparities, and that looking at the overall statistics doesn't even give us the whole picture.
Yeah, so if we're thinking about just white millennials in general, 27% of them are financially healthy.
However, for Black millennials, that's only 16%, and for Hispanic millennials, that's only 19% financially healthy.
That is just, even though we're talking about 24% are financially healthy, there's already such a huge disparity within races itself.
Right, and then when it comes to bill payment, 62% of white millennials are financially healthy, whereas only 47% of Hispanic and 48% of Black millennials are financially healthy in that aspect.
And then credit scores, 46% of white people have very good or excellent scores compared to the 33% Hispanic percentage and the 26% Black.
While this data might be a little outdated, it's still a eye-opener to see how our financial status for millennials is poor. 3/4 of the population is struggling in some aspect. And there are also disparities between different groups, which shows us just how any attempts to change this will be difficult to implement because not all people will be in need of the same aid or the same level of aid to reach financial health.
Yeah, and if we're just thinking about just this idea of financial challenges, even if you're coming from a financially struggling background, it's shown that white respondents still report higher financial health compared to Black and Hispanic respondents.
Right, and then there's also issues with employment and workplace benefits that influence our financial health.
And a lot of the employees, especially like millennial employees, really want consistent schedules and stable incomes, which obviously correlate with higher financial health.
And millennials with predictable schedules and stable income are significantly more likely to be financially healthy because they will also have access to health insurance and paid sick leave, which comes from stable incomes, consistent jobs that usually you get benefits from after staying with them for a longer time or having a more standard 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, and on top of this, there's a lot of expectations that millennials have from their financial institutions as well. 57% of millennials prioritize institutions that really help improve their financial health.
However, only 14% strongly feel their primary institution aids in their financial health, indicating a large gap.
Definitely. I mean, the fact that 3/4 of the American population does not feel financially healthy, and that there's such a large demand from better workplace benefits and better, more expectations from financial institutions, show how many financial challenges we really have going on in our country right now.
Yeah. So now we're going to shift and talk a little bit about Gen Z.
So 38% of Gen Z and millennials feel like they struggle more with financial security compared to their parents at the same age.
And 53% of Gen Z workers have additional jobs to cover monthly expenses, more than any other generation.
And then it gets even worse. 53% of Gen Z cite high living costs as a major barrier.
And we know that high living costs and struggles financially make it difficult to invest in personal finance and put yourself first and aim to improve your financial status.
And this is why 75% of Gen Z are reluctant to even set long-term financial goals because of the current economic climate, and 66% of them believe that they may never have even enough money to retire.
And relating to retirement, there are continued pushes to increase retirement age, and there is data that's implying that Gen Z will likely be a generation that works more than any previous generation for much longer and has a longer life, but they're still working for so much longer, and it's possible that we will struggle with retirement money in the future as well.
And since Gen Z are definitely on the younger side of the the age spectrum, a lot of them are already students in college or going to be students in college. And so a really big issue that Gen Z students are facing is high student loan debt.
Right. There are a lot more financial barriers for Gen Z because they are younger, which includes higher costs for essentials like food and housing and lower wages. But student loan debt is really the kicker when it comes to financial barriers.
Yeah, and according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, Gen Z has an average of $20,900 in student debt, which is 13% higher than millennials. And that translates to a median loan of $12,800, which again is around 14% higher than that of millennials.
Well, it may seem like there's no way out of student debt. There are a few ways to combat student loan debt.
So avoid neglecting your loans, obviously, or relying on secondhand information, because ignoring them can damage your credit score and lead to penalties and even higher interest rates to pay back those loans, which can affect your financial health for years.
And it's also important to determine if your loans are federal or private, because their interest rates can vary depending on what you choose, especially for people that are planning to take out student loans in the near future.
Yeah, and so make sure you use that national student loan data system for federal loans to see your balance and monthly payments, obviously if you are opting for a federal loan.
And then also include private loans to get a complete budget picture and see what the best ways to combat your student loan will be.
And then also stay informed about federal forgiveness discussions and explore student loan forgiveness programs offered by nonprofits, government entities, and sometimes some employers.
Right. And if you feel very strongly about this, it's always possible for you to reach out and try to get involved in those conversations on the government level.
Yes, and also consolidating multiple loans into one can simplify payments. So that means you're refinancing high-interest loans at a lower rate, which can save money, which also makes sense because you need to make sure you understand the new interest rates, any associated costs, whether the rate is fixed or variable, and if there are prepayment conditions.
Right, and federal loans offer various payment plans, some extending beyond the standard 10 years, and others start with lower payments that can increase over time. So it's really important to think deeply about whether you want personal or federal loans for your student loans.
You also may qualify for deferment to temporarily pause payments without accruing interest if you are really experiencing economic challenges. Forbearance is also another option, though interest typically continues to accumulate.
Right, especially for current students, it's common for your loans to be stagnant in relation to interest, which means just not taking on any additional interest while you're still in school. So focusing on saving money while you're still studying and then using that to pay off your student loans as quickly as possible once that interest starts accumulating is a very smart way to go about it.
Yes, and while you're managing those student loans, make sure you're making sound financial decisions elsewhere, because you don't want to have three financial dilemmas going at you at once.
Right, and that involves paying at least the minimum on all your loans and then deciding whether to contribute extra funds to retirement savings or trying to get an employer match while you do so.
And obviously pay off your high interest credit card debt, because it usually has the highest interest rates compared to any other one.
Right. So while student loans may seem like a end-all situation, there are ways to deal with that. And especially for current students, it's really important to be putting all of your thought into making the most sound decision related to your student loans, because there really is a lot more that goes into it and a lot of different ways to go about taking out money to pay for your education.
For sure. Well, we hope this episode really is an eye-opener for you guys on the current economic situation for Gen Z millennials. But that's all for today. This is Watch Radio. Cash it on.